This Is Why We Can Have Nice Things, written by Jettisor and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Bucky / Clint. Clint's piece-of-shit phone is dead again. He sticks it back in his pocket with a sigh. Hopefully, Bucky won't have any trouble finding the place. He's a world-class expert on surveillance and tracking. He should be able to locate a coffee shop. Clint gets to the front of the line and glances at the door, but he doesn't see Bucky yet. "Just a plain drip coffee, please," he says to the barista. He doesn't know Bucky well enough to order for him. That's kind of the point of this, to get to know the guy a little, welcome him back to the borough, make sure he knows he has a friend here. One nice, semi-normal friend, without model gorgeous looks and crazy superpowers like everybody else Bucky knows. Just some guy he can meet up with for coffee or a beer and shoot the shit. Everybody needs a friend like that. Clint stakes out a table in the corner where he can keep an eye on the whole place and sits down, shucking off his hat and coat. He takes a small sip of his coffee to make sure it's not going to burn off a layer of his esophagus, and then happily downs half the mug. Maybe he should have ordered two anyway, just so he wouldn't have to wait in line again. He looks around, taking in the gentle bustle around him and the unremarkable art on the walls. He hasn't been here before, just scoped it out on Yelp. Bucky's new place is in Brooklyn Heights, the closest he's gonna get to his home in this century, so Clint picked a spot in Fort Greene to meet up. Neutral ground, so neither of them has to let the other one into their space. It's not Clint's first rodeo befriending a twitchy former assassin with complex PTSD. Speaking of which, when Bucky shows up, he doesn't look too hot. Well, obviously he always looks hot, but doesn't look like he's feeling very good. He makes a beeline for Clint without stopping at the counter, and Clint preemptively shifts to give him the spot with the best sight lines. Bucky takes it without a word. Clint takes another sip of coffee and lets his gaze wander around the cafe, giving him space. After a minute, Bucky says a little hoarsely, "Did you get my last text?" "Ah, no, sorry," Clint says. "Phone's dead." "It's colder than the forecast said. Gonna need time to adjust." Clint nods understandingly. "I'm gonna go get a refill. Can I grab you something?" "Coffee," Bucky says. "Black, thanks." That's something they have in common, then. Clint gets back in line, and by the time he returns with two mugs, Bucky seems a lot more settled. "Sorry about that," he says, accepting a mug from Clint. "I don't like coming inside from the cold." He seems okay talking about it, so Clint asks, "It's not the cold itself that bugs you?" Bucky shakes his head. "Cold is fine. Cold is good. That's when nobody bothered me. When they warmed me up, that's when shit got unpleasant." "Ah, maybe not the best topic to start off with." "Sorry I missed your text. My phone's battery life is like nothing. I need to get a new one." Clint wrinkles his nose. "Why don't they sell phones that can access the internet without all that Big Brother bullshit with the location tracking, cameras, recording you all the time?" "Yes!" Bucky abruptly looks more animated than Clint has ever seen him in a social situation. "I spent weeks trying to find a phone that won't sell my bathroom habits to Amazon or some shit, and ended up giving up. I just use this." He produces an honest-to-God flip phone from his pocket. Whoa. Clint hasn't seen one of those in years. Maybe a decade. Respect. I just turn off all the Big Brother settings I can find and put a sticker over the front-facing camera. Bucky sips his coffee and makes a face. "Jesus, this is terrible. You like this stuff?" "It's coffee." Clint drains his second mug. "Of course I like coffee. I know we're not best friends or anything, but you should definitely have figured out that much about me by now." "It's bad coffee. I'm gonna go get something else." "Oh, yeah, by all means." Bucky yanks his fingers out of the way as Clint snatches up the rejected mug. He's done with it by the time Bucky sits back down, wisely bearing a fourth coffee for Clint along with his own tea. He shakes his head as Clint dives into it. You really like that. It's coffee, Clint repeats. There's no such thing as bad coffee. Coffee is coffee, therefore it is good. You're nuts, says Bucky, but the expression in his voice is fond, which is really all Clint ever hopes for from anyone. Clint gets to see Bucky's new apartment the following week because Bucky has some IKEA furniture that requires two people to put together, and the super soldier serum doesn't make his arms any longer. Clint brings a six-pack of beer and proclaims, "Avengers, assemble!" before they start, which makes Bucky snort with a laugh, so Clint considers the visit a win. It also demonstrates that Bucky's standard of living is low enough for Clint to feel comfortable having him over to his place, too. He doesn't do that, usually, because the rest of the team is transcendently hot and superpowered and grown up and would definitely judge him for living like an adolescent hamster. But he doesn't think a man who clearly sleeps on the bare hardwood next to his frameless mattress gets to throw stones, no matter how transcendently hot and super powerful he may be. So, he invites Bucky over, and it goes so well that he does it again, and then they settle into a nice little routine of Thursday night takeout dinners and Sunday morning walks with Lucky. Clint likes Bucky a lot. He's very chill, trauma quirks aside, and he teases Clint in a friendly way without getting condescending. He loves talking about Brooklyn, how it's changed and how it hasn't, his favorite spots and new things he sees on their walks. He's incredibly observant, always picking up on cool graffiti and funny signs in store windows, little things Clint would never have spotted. Clint's vision is spectacular when he's paying attention, but he doesn't just notice everything like that. Bucky talks about his past life, too, about his family getting by on next to nothing during the Depression, about the people he knew before the war. He only talks about that stuff when they're alone, pausing if they're in public and someone else comes within earshot. Clint likes the implication that Bucky trusts him, that he wouldn't say these things to just anyone. He likes being someone Bucky can talk to, likes that they can relax together. And then November ends, and the coffee crusade begins. It's not weird at first. Bucky comes by on a Sunday morning, like he always does, and brings a fancy-looking metal thermos with him. He's never done that before, but Clint is fully on board as soon as he realizes there's coffee inside, pawing eagerly at it while Bucky laughingly fends him off long enough to pour some into a mug. Clint slurps down as much of it as Bucky will let him have, which is 3 cups, because by now he's figured out that 4 tips Clint over the edge from buzzed to anxious, and then they take Lucky out for a walk like usual. The next day, it's a little bit weird, because they don't usually see each other on Mondays. But again, he comes bearing the thermos, and Clint isn't gonna argue with free coffee. He does have other shit to do that day, because he wasn't expecting a guest, but Bucky doesn't stick around too long, so it's fine. The third day, Clint figures it's just a thing now. Bucky brings him coffee in the mornings, hangs out until Clint is done with his allotted 3 cups, and then leaves. It's unexpected, but it's just about the best thing that's ever happened to him in his entire life, so he's not asking questions. The fourth day, Clint wakes up to find Bucky already in his kitchen, despite the locked door, and starts to wonder if maybe he should be asking a few questions. "Hey, dude," he says, patting down the stairs barefoot. "Love the coffee deliveries, but I'm kinda wondering." Bucky hands him a mug. He pauses to take a sip and discovers Nirvana. What the fuck? Clint stares at the gently rippling surface of the coffee. What is this? Coffee, says Bucky. Coffee is coffee, right? He sounds smug. It's like... Clint takes a longer sip, closing his eyes to savor it. The movie, with the rats, and the cheese, and the strawberry, and the two music things playing at the same time. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Bucky sounds amused. This is not the same coffee you've been bringing me, says Clint. This coffee. He gulps down the last mouthful and pours himself another cup. This is the best coffee I've ever had. What is this? Where did you get this? 4 days, Bucky says thoughtfully. I figured it would take you at least a week. I guess your taste is more discerning than either of us thought. None of the coffee has been the same, Clint realizes. He points at Bucky with the hand not cradling his perfect coffee to his chest. You're doing a thing. Bucky grins. I, he confirms, am doing a thing. Clint drains his second cup and pours a third. Okay, you win. Some coffee is better than other coffee. Now tell me where I can buy this. No, says Bucky. What? Clint's eyes go wide in panic. He can't have this coffee just once. Now that he knows it exists, he needs this coffee. Bucky smirks. If I told you all my secrets, why would you keep me around? Why would you do this to me? Clint moans. He drinks more of the coffee, and the moan morphs from pained to orgasmic. Will you at least bring me more of it tomorrow? What makes you think I'm coming tomorrow? Bucky asks innocently, and saunters out with his thermos swinging from one finger. He does come the next day, but he doesn't bring the orgasm coffee. Instead, it's a different kind, and now that Clint is onto him, Bucky tells him all about it, explaining about body and mouthfeel and shit. This one is a light roast with a citrus tone, apparently, and Clint likes it, but he's pining for yesterday's revelation. How is it still so hot when you get here? He asks. Isn't it like 20 degrees out there? He slurps a little to avoid burning his tongue. Bucky nods at his metal thermos. The lady at REI said this was the best one, supposed to work for up to 24 hours. And you're... Clint isn't sure how to ask. Okay with this? Going out every day, when it's so cold? He's a little concerned that Bucky will think he's dropping a hint to stop visiting, but Bucky sounds perfectly sure of himself when he teases, Oh, am I coming over too often? Bringing you too much coffee? So sorry, I'll stop. Clint reaches over to shove at Bucky's arm. His hand bumps the metal through unexpectedly thin fabric, and Clint frowns, tugging at the material. This is what you're wearing in New York in December? You took the dog out this morning in a hoodie, Bucky points out. Yeah, but that was just down the block. You're coming all the way from Brooklyn Heights. How come you didn't get yourself a decent coat when you were grilling salespeople at REI? Bucky shrugs, looking uncomfortable. It's fine. The super serum keeps me from getting frostbite or whatever. Does the super serum keep you from feeling temperature? It's fine, Bucky repeats. He's starting to sound annoyed. Clint holds up his hands. Okay, sorry. I just don't want you freezing your ass off to do something nice for me. Bucky is giving him a look he can't quite read. You want me to stop? He asks, and he sounds serious this time. Clint wraps his hands around his mug, breathing in deep. It's not life-changing like yesterday's, but it's still good. I love this, he says, and it comes out a little more heartfelt than he means it to. I really love you bringing me coffee. I don't want you to stop. Just want to make sure you're okay. Bucky's face softens. I'm okay, he says, and then adds quietly, Thanks. By the time Clint remembers that he was going to object to Bucky breaking into his apartment before he's awake, it's already happened 3 more times, and it feels kind of awkward to bring it up now. Someone else can take on the project of teaching the Winter Soldier about boundaries, he decides. He's just going to enjoy his coffee. And he is enjoying it so, so much. Bucky won't give him any specifics about the brands, but he'll talk about the different origins and processes, and after 2 weeks of this, Clint has decided he likes medium dark roasts the best. They have more body and less acidity, apparently. He still doesn't really know what all that means, but when he's paying attention, he can at least tell what he likes. The temperatures have dropped enough now that they've stopped going out on long walks together. Clint starts setting his alarm early enough to take Lucky out before Bucky shows up, so he won't have to deal with warming up from the cold twice, and then the two of them drink their coffee at Clint's breakfast bar. Bucky usually nurses one cup while Clint is sucking down his 3, then sometimes he heads home right away, and sometimes he sticks around. Clint likes it when he sticks around. On December 15th, Clint slams 2 cups of coffee, Sumatran, kinda mushroomy, not his favorite, and says, Ready to go? Go where? Bucky asks, unfazed. To get a Christmas tree for Lucky, Clint declares. Bucky sips his own mushroom coffee, trying not very hard to hide a smirk. For Lucky, huh? He loves Christmas trees, Clint explains. He likes to sniff 'em and roll around under 'em and chew on the ornaments and drink water out of the stand. It's his favorite holiday. Bucky's smirk shifts to a real smile. Okay, he says. Let's go get a Christmas tree for Lucky. In retrospect, Clint will later acknowledge that perhaps he should have listened to Bucky's suggestion of leaving the dog behind. But he wanted Lucky to help pick out the tree, make sure to get one that was good for sniffing, and he figured it wouldn't be too hard to navigate getting it back with a super soldier there to help. And it isn't. Everything goes just fine the whole way home, right up until they're back in Clint's building, trying to get the tree around the corner to the stairs, and Lucky sees one of Simone's kids down the hall. He bolts, thrilled at the prospect of scritches, and the leash snaps tight around Clint's ankles. "Fuck!" he yelps, windmilling his free arm to keep his balance, but it doesn't work. He crashes into the wall, clotheslining himself on the tree trunk, and it snaps against the corner with a loud crack. "Damn it," Clint moans, sliding to the floor in a mess of pine needles. Bucky deftly extricates Clint from the remnants of the tree. "You okay?"
"Yeah."
Clint feels his ribs where he hit the trunk. "Not even cracked, I don't think." "Aw, tree." He gazes mournfully at it. Bucky squats down next to him, laying a comforting hand on his shoulder. "We'll get you another tree." "Get Lucky another tree," Clint corrects. He untangles the leash from his ankles so Lucky can at least go get his scritches. "This is why we can't have nice things," he calls at the dog's retreating butt. Bucky frowns. "Why?" This must be another modern expression he hasn't run into yet. It's just a figure of speech. It means... "I know what it means," says Bucky. "Seriously, though, you really don't think you can have nice things, do you? Why?" "Well, that's pretty obvious." Clint gestures grandly to the broken pile of branches. "Nice things don't stay nice around me." Bucky gives him a long, assessing look, then purses his lips and stands up. "Come on upstairs." "We gotta do something with this mess," Clint protests. "I'll handle it. Come on." Clint follows Bucky up to his apartment, Lucky trailing his leash on the floor behind them. Clint curls up on the couch with a third cup of mushroom coffee from the magic 24-hour thermos and watches Bucky tapping on a tablet, opening a bunch of tabs to compare Christmas tree delivery services, making a phone call, reading off his credit card number. He sounds like a real adult on the phone, all confident and commanding, but still polite. Clint is no good at that shit. He tries for polite and ends up apologizing for calling in the first place. Bucky hangs up and says, "They'll be here at 2. They said they'll clear away the other one, too." And that's it. He said he would handle it, and he did. Clint isn't used to that. Most of the time, he's the one who has to handle everything, or fail to handle it and suffer the consequences. This is new, and he doesn't hate it. "Thank you," he says sincerely. "You're welcome." Bucky sniffs in the direction of Clint's mug. "Why are you drinking that? I thought you didn't like this one. Don't you have coffee you like?" Clint looks down at it. He does have his regular coffee in the kitchen, but... "You brought it for me. I'm not gonna waste it." Bucky has that look on his face, like Clint is being exasperating, but he doesn't want to get into an argument. Clint has seen that look on a lot of different faces in his life, and he thought he was used to it, but he's discovering now that he doesn't like seeing it on Bucky. He doesn't want to exasperate Bucky. He wants to make Bucky happy. He finishes the coffee anyway. He doesn't want to waste it. The tree that arrives that afternoon is beautiful, much nicer than the other one. Lucky is over the moon, burying his entire head in the branches to get the full sniffing experience, while Clint hauls the tattered cardboard box of Walmart decorations out from the closet and gets down to festive business. He makes sure the breakable ornaments are all higher up the tree, and the cloth and plastic ones go lower down, so Lucky doesn't hurt himself chewing on glass. There aren't that many chewable ones left from last year. He should swing by the store. When he's done, he plugs in the lights and steps back to examine his work. He's no interior designer, but he thinks it looks okay. Cozy. He's always liked the coziness of Christmas. Bucky comes up next to him and puts an arm around his shoulder. "You can have nice things," he says softly. Clint isn't sure what to say to that. A few days later, Clint's ongoing quest to try every pizza place in Brooklyn brings him near Bucky's place, and, on a whim, he decides to get his pizza to go and drop by. Bucky has been bringing him coffee for weeks. He should return the favor. Probably not a good idea to do the surprise break-in part, though. So when Bucky doesn't respond to a knock, Clint texts him. "Up on the roof," Bucky answers. Clint climbs up the stairs to join him. Bucky is perched on a cracked milk crate, awkwardly leaning to one side to avoid putting too much pressure on the broken part. He holds up a hand in greeting when Clint emerges from the stairwell door. "Hey." "Hey, I brought pizza. What are you doing up here? Bucky shrugs. I'm just getting out of the apartment. I like hanging out here, looking at the city. It's not the greatest view, but there's a bit of river visible between a couple buildings, and a sliver of Manhattan beyond. Clint ambles closer to Bucky and notices a dinged-up plastic thermos at his feet. What's that? Hmm? Bucky looks down. Oh, mint tea. You can have some if you want, but it's probably cold by now. Why isn't it in your fancy thermos? Clint asks. Bucky looks uncomfortable. That's for your coffee. I'm pretty sure if it's the best one REI has, it's gonna be washable. Bucky grabs the plastic thermos and stands up. Let's head inside and eat that pizza. Clint lets him think he's getting away with dodging the subject until they're done eating, at which point he gestures to the fancy thermos on the kitchen counter and raises his eyebrows. Bucky ducks his head, avoiding eye contact. I didn't get that for me. Why not? If you like to hang out on the roof with a hot drink, it makes sense to keep it hot. Clint remembers the thing about warming up. Unless you don't want it hot. I just don't want to use the good one for myself, Bucky mutters. Uh-huh. So why can't you have nice things? Bucky shoots him a frustrated look, but Clint isn't letting go of this. Is that why you don't have a warm coat? You don't... What? You don't think you deserve it? Is that what's happening here? Bucky scowls. Look who's talking. Getting a Christmas tree for the damn dog. It is for the dog. Bullshit, Bucky says. That's bullshit, Clint. You wanted a fucking Christmas tree. And you love good coffee, but you buy terrible coffee. And you hate your soap. That knocks Clint off his roll. My soap? Your soap. The shitty bar soap in your bathroom. You hate the way it smells. Every time you come out of the bathroom and then your hands get near your face, you wrinkle your nose and pull them away. Either you hate your soap, or you're not washing your hands, so it better be the soap. How do you notice that shit? Clint demands. I don't notice that shit. I just buy whatever soap is cheapest. I don't have opinions about it. You do have opinions, Bucky insists. You just don't... I don't know, they don't matter to you or something. I think it just doesn't occur to you that nice things are an option. How is this about me all of a sudden when you're the one drinking cold tea for no goddamn reason? They glower at each other in silence for a minute. Finally, Clint says, I'll buy new soap if you buy a coat. Deal, Bucky grumbles. Clint stares at the wall of soap. He's never really realized how much of it there is at the grocery store. He always just grabs the same one he's been buying for years and moves on. But now that he's looking, the options are overwhelming. Bar soaps, squirt bottles, 100 different scents. If he has to figure out which one of all of these he likes best, he's gonna be here all night. But then he starts sniffing, and he figures out pretty fast that he doesn't like anything with flowers on it or anything with laundry names, like fresh linen or whatever. That narrows it down a lot. And when he actually thinks about it, he doesn't really want bar soap. He likes when he's over at someone's house and they have the squirt bottles, so he might as well try one of those. Bucky was right. It just hadn't occurred to him that he could buy them for himself. He eventually goes with an almond-scented one that supposedly foams up. Foam is fun. In the morning, Bucky shows up in a real comfy-looking puffy gray coat. Clint wasn't expecting him to have bought one already, since clothing stores don't tend to stay open as late as grocery stores. He pats Bucky's arm approvingly and says, That was quick. Did you just grab the first one you saw on the way over? Bucky shakes his head. I knew which one I wanted, he says. He unscrews the thermos and sticks it under Clint's nose, which is always a good way to make Clint forget what he was about to say. Today's coffee is amazing. Clint has two cups, goes to pee, and when he comes back for his third cup, he gets a little whiff of the almond soap lingering on his hands along with the coffee. It's surprisingly pleasant. He settles on the couch instead of back at the breakfast bar and waves Bucky over to join him so they can watch Lucky snuffling around the tree while they finish their coffee. Are you doing anything for Christmas? Clint asks. Do you celebrate? Bucky shrugs. I'd like to, I guess. No plans yet. You should come over, says Clint decisively. Do Christmas with me and Lucky. Okay, Bucky says, and smiles over the rim of his mug. On Christmas morning, Bucky shows up covered in snow, holding three wrapped gifts, and no coffee. Coffee, Clint says in a tiny, pitiful voice. Bucky grins. Merry Christmas to you, too. Clint turns around and shuffles into the kitchen, leaving Bucky to close the door. He's halfway through opening a bag of coffee that hasn't been touched in almost a month when Bucky's hands land on top of his, stopping him. Open your presents first. Coffee, Clint argues eloquently. Bucky wraps an arm around Clint's waist. It feels so good that Clint doesn't register being guided out of the kitchen until Bucky is trying to sit him down on the couch. No, Clint says. Bucky rolls his eyes. Clint, I promise there will be coffee very soon, okay? No, I mean, couch no. This is why Clint needs the damn coffee. I want to open presents on the floor, by the tree. Oh, okay. Bucky shifts direction, sitting down with Clint next to the tree. If Clint had been thinking ahead, if he'd had any coffee, he would have tried to clean up the floor beforehand, but Bucky doesn't seem to mind a little dirt. Here, open these, he says, depositing two of his gifts in Clint's lap. Clint rips into the smaller one first, because that promise about imminent coffee made him realize it's shaped tantalizingly like a bag of coffee. It is indeed a bag of coffee, and he's halfway to his feet to go brew it before Bucky is dragging him back down, laughing. Open the other one, come on, I swear it'll be worth it. It's a French press. There is no fucking way Clint is going to learn how to operate a French press before getting any caffeine in him. He holds it out to Bucky, whining. Okay, okay, Bucky says fondly. He takes the press and the bag of coffee. Give me 10 minutes. Clint flops flat on his back to cuddle Lucky under the tree, staring up into the colorfully glowing branches. Bucky must have turned on the string lights at some point, because Clint definitely didn't. It's pretty, and Lucky's fur is soft, and Clint has just about fallen back asleep when the aroma of heaven hits his nostrils. Coffee, Clint breathes. He tries to sit up and gets a face full of pine needles. Bucky pushes him back down and eases him out from underneath the branches before helping him sit up. Maybe I should have brought a cup of a different kind already made to get you going, he says ruefully. Clint grabs the mug he's holding and takes his first blissful sip. No, he says firmly. Bucky looks crestfallen. You don't like it? This is why Clint needs his coffee. No, no. He takes another sip and then starts blowing on it to cool it down. No to the one cup already made, he clarifies between breaths. If I only get 3 cups, I want all of them to be this. This is... A memory stirs from somewhere in the vicinity of the border between his happy place and his spank bank. This is the orgasm coffee, he realizes. It's the one he begged for the name of, the one that made him catch on to what Bucky was doing. Except, better? Is it better? Bucky is smiling bigger than Clint has ever seen him smile. God, he's beautiful. Yeah, it's like the one you liked on day 4, except that day I used a regular coffee machine, and apparently that can mask the lighter fruit notes, so I got you a French press. You liked the bolder flavor profiles we tried. It's supposed to be good for those. You like it? Of all that, Clint processes, yeah, and you like it, and the rest is just soothing noise. He nods happily, holding the mug close to his face between sips so he can maximize steam inhalation. After the caffeine hits and he's fully conscious, Clint examines the coffee packaging. Brazil legender Sitio Takara, he reads. It's a medium light roast. He's a little surprised by that. He doesn't tend to like the lighter roasts as much as the darker ones. They usually taste kind of sour. Roasting longer causes caramelization and brings out more bold flavors, Bucky explains. This is a Brazilian single origin that has those earthy, cocoa-y, nutty kinds of flavors already. That means you get those rich flavors you like without losing the subtler nuances, which happens with the darker roasts, and it's less bitter. Plus, lighter roast means more caffeine. Huh. Clint takes another sip, trying to detect the flavors Bucky is talking about. He's getting some nuttiness, he thinks. Where did you learn about all this? Bucky looks a little embarrassed. I just kind of Googled as I went along. Wait. So you didn't even know all this shit when you were bitching about that coffee you didn't like? Bucky rolls his eyes. I mean, I knew what tasted good. Put me one step ahead of you. Clint elbows him affectionately. Well, thanks for ruining bad coffee for me forever. Now that I know this shit is possible, I'm gonna have a hard time living without it. He tips to the side to hug Bucky with one arm, carefully holding his precious coffee steady with the other. Seriously, thank you. Bucky wraps a tentative arm around Clint. You're welcome. Clint stays with his head on Bucky's shoulder a moment longer. You were right, he says thoughtfully. I do have opinions about what I like, and I don't pay attention to them. I figure nice things are wasted on me, I fuck them up or I don't appreciate them, so I just default to whatever is cheapest and easiest. Maybe I shouldn't always do that. Bucky squeezes Clint against his side gently. I like the new soap, he offers. Me too, Clint says. He pushes his face into Bucky's shoulder a little, just enjoying the solid warmth of it, then sits up eagerly. Open yours. He nudges the two gifts under the tree toward Bucky, one big box and one in an envelope. Bucky opens the big one first. It's a camping chair to replace the broken milk crate on his roof, a comfy one with a drink holder in the arm. For the good thermos, Clint instructs. The crappy chunky plastic one won't even fit, so don't try. Okay, Bucky says quietly, running his fingers along the sturdy canvas. Thank you, it's perfect. Now the other one, Clint demands, and Bucky opens the envelope. It's a printout from the front page of the Consumer Reports website. I just wanted you to have something to open, Clint explains. I got you a subscription, so you can check out their reviews online. I've seen you with your 30 tabs open. I know you like to read up on stuff and compare. Bucky raises his eyebrows. I thought you didn't notice things. I don't notice things I'm not paying attention to, Clint clarifies. I pay attention to you. Lucky, no! He makes a grab for the third present Bucky brought, which Lucky has just started chewing on. No, it's okay, Bucky says. It's for him. Clint stops and turns to stare at him. You got a present for my dog? Well, says Bucky, it is his favorite holiday. Clint looks back at Lucky, who has now gnawed off most of the wrapping paper to reveal a chew toy shaped like a piece of pizza. It's adorable. Bucky takes a sip of coffee. So, he says, tree, chewable ornaments for Lucky, opening presents on the floor. Any other favorite Christmas traditions? Clint thinks back to the farmhouse in Iowa, the meager celebration his mom always tried to pull together. We had hot chocolate, he says. I'm happy with coffee as the grown-up version of that. Me and Barney always had an epic snowball fight, if there was snow. A couple years we had the good advent calendars with the candy, and Christmas Day was the best one. Guess it's a little late to pick up one of those. Unexpectedly, Bucky starts laughing. Clint glances at him, confused. You really don't notice things, huh? Bucky shakes his head. The coffee, Clint. Clint looks down at his mug and back up. What? It was a coffee sampler advent calendar, a different kind of coffee every day. Did you think I bought 25 entire bags of coffee? Oh. Clint blinks, absorbing this. Wait, does that mean you're going to stop coming over here in the mornings? Bucky shrugs. Well, now you have the coffee you like. You don't need me anymore. He keeps a straight face for about another 2 seconds before he cracks. Of course I'll keep coming over if you want me to. Clint drains his mug and realizes with surprise that he's only had one. He's just been enjoying it instead of mainlining it. That's never happened before. Yeah, he says, and smiles at Bucky. I want you to. Bucky smiles back, warm and happy, then slaps his knees and stands up. Ready to go? Go where? Bucky is already putting on his new coat. Snowball fight. Late in the afternoon, they're back on the couch warming up, drinking more coffee even though it's too late for caffeine, because Clint has his orgasm coffee now and he'll drink it if he wants to. It's starting to get dark outside, and Lucky is happily mauling his pizza toy under the tree, and Clint hasn't had a Christmas this nice in... well, it's been a good day. A bed, he suggests, tucking his snow-chilled toes under Bucky's thigh. A phone that will let you use the internet without selling your bathroom habits. A grill, you could grill up on the roof. So your Christmas present to me is just telling me to buy things for myself, Bucky says dryly. Clint points at the tablet lying on Bucky's knees. You have 5 zillion Consumer Reports tabs open right now this second, so don't even front. You love it. I do, Bucky admits. So what are you going to get first? Clint takes a long sip of his perfect coffee. You knew exactly what coat you wanted. You were already thinking about it. What else have you been denying yourself for no reason? What's at the top of your list? Bucky is giving him a little bit of a strange look. Clint tilts his head, curious. What have I been denying myself? Bucky says. It doesn't really come out like a question. Yeah. says Clint, a little uncertain. Bucky sounds weirdly serious. What do you want that you've been holding yourself back from? Okay, says Bucky, like he's deciding something big. Okay, Clint. Clint isn't sure what's happening here. He waits quizzically. Bucky leans toward him and says, I'm holding myself back from taking that coffee away from you. What? Clint automatically cradles the mug to his chest. Why would you... Taking that coffee away from you and putting it down on the table where it won't spill. Bucky's eyes are pure intensity. And putting my hand there, he reaches out, hovering his flesh hand in the air just behind and below Clint's ear, not quite making contact. Right there, that's the exact spot I've been holding myself back from touching and kissing you. Clint is frozen, speechless. He can barely feel the warmth of Bucky's hand in the hair by his neck. And, pulling you onto my lap, Bucky continues, still looking directly into Clint's eyes, and grabbing you by the ass and lifting you up, and carrying you to your bed, and staying there all night, and then making you coffee in the morning, without having to walk 3.5 miles in the snow. Slowly, he pulls his hand away and rests it in his lap. That. I've been holding myself back from that. Clint opens his mouth, then closes it again, because he genuinely has no words. What are you supposed to say when you win the lottery without even buying a ticket? Bucky takes a deep breath. Is that something you've ever thought about with me? No, Clint says honestly. And then when Bucky's face falls, no, I mean, I've never thought about that because it never even crossed my mind that you would. It's like you said, it just doesn't occur to me that nice things are an option. Oh, Bucky says. And it's crossing your mind now? Clint nods. There is a lot crossing his mind now. Fuck. It's hard to believe he really gets to have this, but there wasn't a whole lot of room for misinterpretation in that little speech. He swallows, throat dry, and whispers, "Don't hold back." Bucky reaches out to take the coffee and set it gently on the table. Then he's on Clint, hand on the promised spot, mouths pressing together hot and hungry, and this is definitely the best Christmas Clint has ever had. Bucky pulls Clint closer, onto his lap, and Clint shivers, thinking about everything else he said. Bucky draws back, checking in. You okay? I think, Clint says, breathing in Bucky's breath. Now that I know this shit is possible, I'm gonna have a hard time living without it. Good, Bucky says, and grabs him by the ass. Clint has slept with a fair number of people, but not one of them has ever managed to pick him up, much less carried him up a flight of stairs while kissing him the whole time. He has been missing out, he decides, clinging to Bucky's thick shoulders as they round the corner at the top of the stairs. One disadvantage of having never considered this as an option is that Clint's bed is a disaster, sheets unwashed and comforter draped half on the floor. Bucky doesn't seem to care, as he lands the two of them on it hard enough to knock the comforter the rest of the way off. Clint is braced for impact, but Bucky catches himself on his elbows instead of crushing him. Such a gentleman. You're a gentleman, Clint mumbles into Bucky's mouth, because thoughts don't really stay inside his head. Am I? Bucky growls, shoving his hand into Clint's pants. Clint just about sees stars. He can't believe this is happening. Bucky's hand is on his dick, Bucky's lips firm and confident on his. He bucks his hips and Bucky obligingly speeds up, jacking his cock. What do you want? Bucky whispers. He drags his mouth across Clint's cheek and breathes right into his ear. How can I make you feel good? Clint feels so good right now, he can't even comprehend the idea of asking for anything else. Fuck, this is perfect, he moans. Bucky's hand stops. Clint makes a noise of protest and turns to look at him, trying to figure out if something is wrong. Bucky kisses him again, reassuring, and then says, Clint, think about what you want. I just want you, Clint insists. Please keep touching me. Bucky starts moving his hand again. Is this really all you want? He presses. A hand job with your clothes still on. Jesus Christ, Clint groans. He's fine. He's good. He's happy. What do you want? Bucky leans close, his mouth right by Clint's ear again, and says, I want to give you the best night of your life. I want to blow your goddamn mind. Tell me how. It's already blowing Clint's mind that they're doing this at all. He can't process it for a second, can't wrap his head around asking for anything more, and then he takes a deep breath and tries to think. If it had ever occurred to him to fantasize about Bucky, to concoct a dream scenario with him, what would he have imagined? What could be even better than this? It feels wrong to ask. It feels unnecessary, extraneous, greedy. A handjob with his clothes on would still have been the best night of his life if it was with Bucky. Hell, just the kissing would have been the best night of his life. But Bucky wants him to ask. Wants him to want. He starts hesitantly. I want you to suck my dick. Okay, Bucky says immediately. What else? Clint suppresses his knee-jerk resistance and forces his mind to open to the possibility of something else, something more. I want to come in your mouth, he says. And then, I want to make out with you while you finger me really slowly until I'm hard again. And then I want you to toss my knees over your shoulders and fuck me through the mattress. Fuck, Bucky whispers, his breath hot against Clint's neck. Thank you. And he genuinely sounds grateful, like Clint is doing him some kind of favor by being greedy. He devours Clint's mouth again, sliding a hand under his jeans to grab his ass in the process of pushing his pants and underwear down. Clint kicks them the rest of the way off and wriggles out of his shirt, leaving it around his neck until Bucky lets him come up for air. Clint pulls the shirt over his head and snags Bucky's as he's moving down the bed, pulling it off too. Shit. He's spent a lot of time ogling Bucky shirtless in various world-saving contexts, but he's never even thought to imagine his bare skin here, in Clint's bed, slithering down Clint's body with a determination that has Clint's toes curling long before he arrives at his destination. Clint has never asked for a blowjob from anyone before, he realizes. It feels selfish, like it's unfair for him to be the only one getting pleasure, except it really doesn't look like that's true. Bucky's eyes are closed and his face looks almost rapturous as he swallows Clint down. Oh my god. Clint smacks his palms against the bed on either side of his hips and gathers up a double handful of sheets. Oh holy fuck, what is your throat even made of? Bucky doesn't respond, except by taking Clint's dick even deeper. Clint can't tell if it's a super soldier thing or if the guy is just that talented, but it feels like it barely takes a minute before he's pulsing into the hot wetness of Bucky's throat, gasping a slightly belated warning that Bucky doesn't seem to need. He keeps sucking through the aftershocks, not pulling off until Clint weakly nudges him away. Jesus Christ, Clint says, overwhelmed. Bucky crawls back up to kiss him, gentle and slow, fingers teasing Clint's legs apart. They have to separate to hunt down the lube, but then Bucky is back on top of him, laser-focused on giving him what he asked for. Clint's guilt is melting away in the face of how into this Bucky is, how much he seems to love making Clint happy. Clint doesn't get it, but he feels like he should probably stop arguing with it. Bucky teases Clint's hole with slick fingers, taking his sweet time easing in. By the time Clint is stretched open enough to be fucked, he's hard again and desperate for more, biting back the urge to plead. But he doesn't need to bite it back, does he? Bucky wants to hear it, wants Clint to ask for things. Please fuck me, Clint begs, and Bucky's pants are off in about a quarter of a second. Clint has had plenty of men between his legs, but the way Bucky looks down at him as his cock slides in feels different. New. It feels like the first sip of the orgasm coffee, like the best version of something he'd never dreamed could possibly be improved upon. He tilts his face up, silently asking for another kiss, and Bucky eagerly provides one as his hips start to thrust. Clint never knew this much happiness could exist all in one place. Harder, Bucky offers. Clint nods, and keeps nodding just to see how far Bucky will go. His ass reaches its limit before Bucky's dick does, and Clint gasps out, "That's perfect, keep doing that, holy shit." He's bent practically in half, one knee hooked over Bucky's shoulder, and the other leg just sticking out into the air as Bucky tirelessly drills down, fucking rhythmic moans out of him. "Is this how you like it, sweetheart?" Bucky asks between Clint's noises. "Is this good, beautiful? Is this what you want?" "Yes, fuck, yes." Clint can barely remember how to produce words. "So fucking good, Bucky, don't stop." "Not stopping," Bucky promises, and follows through on it, pounding into him unrelentingly until Clint shudders through a second orgasm with tears welling up in his eyes. Bucky slows then, and Clint shakes his head. "Don't stop. I want you to come in me." "You sure?" Bucky asks, touching the wetness at the corners of Clint's eyes with concern. Clint nods, pushing his hips up to encourage him, and Bucky starts to move again. Clint closes his eyes, letting the tsunami of sensations crash over him, and he can feel Bucky starting to come inside him right before he leans down to kiss Clint again. It's nice. It's really fucking nice. Clint wakes up to the smell of coffee, which is nothing new since Bucky started breaking into his apartment, but the still warm patch of bedding next to him is definitely new. Clint snuggles into it and waits, hoping Bucky will bring the coffee upstairs, and he is not disappointed. He props himself up on his elbow to accept a mug and takes a sip. "Oh, fuck," he says, and takes a longer sip. "This isn't my orgasm coffee. You got me another orgasm coffee. What is this?" Something hard and light lands on his shins. Clint sits up to peer at it. It's a flat cardboard box with pictures of coffee beans on it. He reaches out to lift the lid and discovers an array of little foil packets. Bucky slips under the covers next to Clint. "I got a sampler of South American single origins. Figured we could just keep going with the advent calendar and see what else we like." He rubs Clint's sheet between his fingers and wrinkles his nose. "Where the hell did you get these sheets? Walmart?" "Literally, yes." Clint rests his head on Bucky's shoulder and sips his coffee, content. "I'll buy better ones." Bucky kisses the top of his head. "Don't need to. I ordered a bunch yesterday. I'll bring some over." Clint beams up at him. "You bought nice sheets? Does that mean you're sleeping on a mattress now?" "Well, I'll have to if I've got company." Bucky glances at Clint out of the corner of his eye, a little questioning. Clint stretches his neck to kiss him. "Of course you'll have company." He pulls back to meet Bucky's eyes. "But if you didn't, would you sleep on the mattress? Are you gonna start letting yourself have nice things now?" Bucky looks unsure, vulnerable, but happy. Softly, he says, "I will if you will." Clint drains the last of his coffee, snuggles up against Bucky, and says, "Deal." The end.